7, but newspress.com.
Good afternoon and welcome to another edition of Money Talk. I'm Neil Kreisel, and Diane Duva and I are your hosts every week, right here on AM 1290, repeated at 11, and Saturdays at 6. We're brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending, whose highly trained and experienced team takes great pride in helping people with home financing, offering competitive rates and a wide array of loan programs. And Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara. And Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm in Santa Barbara, providing its clients with the personal care and attention of a small independent firm coupled with the vast resources of a major financial institution.
Good afternoon, Neil. How are you doing today?
I'm doing great, and I'm really excited about today's guest.
I know. We are in for a treat, for sure.
I know, and I don't want you to get jealous, but... Vanessa Bechtel was my first radio co-host.
I know.
She said
being back in the studio was, what did you say, Vanessa?
It's just a huge treat. It's the best part of my week. I am so thrilled to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, and thanks for teaching me everything I know, including getting rid of my New York accent.
I have to say, I wanted to tell you, you did a great job with Duva today.
Yeah, as I said.
Did you practice this week?
Well, A is a very, for a New Yorker, A is very difficult, Duver, but it's Duva.
And yes, I have to say, it's only been, what, a year and a half
okay,
or so?
Okay, let me try another word, coffee. It's pretty good.
Whoa.
E's are tough, too. E's, R's, and A's are tough for New Yorkers. Is that, should we ready for a commercial? Or
maybe. It's like the Neil Show.
So, you know, we do articles each week, but I found this week's articles to be particularly interesting. I have three articles that are trying to explain the stock market performance, and they kind of say different things, which I find interesting because they were all within a 24-hour period. And the first,
and in some cases, the same paper on the same day.
Exactly. I guess the editors don't pay much attention to what one particular article is saying. But this article in the Wall Street Journal points out that small investors in the last month pulled $17 billion out of the U.S. stock market. The reason they believe is because of rebalancing. That is, a lot of people are using computerized programs, and older people are using rules of thumb to rebalance their portfolio. So as the stock market increases relative to the bond market, the rebalancing policy is that you end up selling stocks at as they go up. And what was interesting about this, the end of the article says, so don't believe anyone who tells you that the Dow 2200 is driven by euphoric, dumb money because small investors have been selling. Now, the second article, a day later or a day earlier, I don't have the date right here, talks about how the dollar has declined. And one of the reasons the stock market is going up is because the dollar declining makes foreign purchases, foreigners be able to buy American stocks cheaper. And also the translation of foreign earnings into dollars is more attractive. So companies that have exposure to foreign earnings have done significantly better than companies that are basically domestic, which, by the way, before we get into the conflict with the first article, sort of goes against what Trump has been saying about the stock market being reflective of a better economy. In fact, most of the gain in stocks have been because of the exposure to non-U.S. earnings.
Right.
But in this article, it says institutional and retail investors have been increasing flows, and it seems that retail investors, many of whom were sitting on the sidelines in the last few years, have invested heavily. Schwab has said that $3 billion in assets from individuals and independent investment firms were invested in the last quarter. So this article is saying that part of the reason for the stock market increase is because retail investors have been investing so much. So we have two articles that say exactly the opposite.
Written on the same day.
On the same day.
With the same data.
The same day. So then in the same newspaper as one of them, the same day, the headline is, Thank the Foreigners for the Dow's Milestone. And it talks about how the reason the stock market is going up is because of those few stocks that have big exposure to foreign earnings. And, for example, Boeing accounted for 563 points of the 2,000-point gain last month for the Dow. The second biggest was Apple, which accounted for 283 points in the Dow, and McDonald's, which accounted for 239. So these three stocks accounted for 60% of the total gain in the Dow, and most of the earnings of these three companies come from non-U.S. sources. So again, here we have an explanation for the market being it is a way to participate in non-U.S. earnings. And the interesting thing about all three articles is, and this is sort of my experience over many years of investing, is that people look for a reason when, in fact, they have no idea what the reason is. They need an explanation. It's sort of like you need a narrative story to go along with whatever's happening. You need to explain things.
Absolutely. And, you know, what's even crazier is there is still an obscene amount of cash in our system right now. There's close to $13 trillion in cash, which is, you know, not the average of where we normally are. And last time I checked, Americans just haven't turned into super savers. They're just not. Of those dollars in our U.S. economy, those are the dollars in banks and institutions that are tracked, not even counting those people that put their money in their coffee containers or under their mattress. And of that $13 trillion, there's $750 billion in retirement plans, which when you look at that, you say, my gosh, those are dollars that should be growing for people. Those are the dollars that are going to replace today's pension for tomorrow's retirees. So if they're all in cash, they're not keeping up with that stock market.
So if someone's listening and saying, okay, thank you for telling us what we don't know, but can you tell us something to make us more effective as an investor? And I'd like to turn to today's Wall Street Journal for some insight, which is the cover story in their business and finance section today. And it says, the headline is, Value Loses Shine in Torrid Growth Era. And what it is talking about is how high multiple stocks are doing significantly better than value stocks. And the point here is that the Graham and Dodd investing philosophy of investing in stocks based upon their future discounted long-term earnings and therefore dividends is being surpassed by this euphoria that very big Facebook, Apple, Alphabet stocks have for people.
Well, it's really looking at those stocks that you're willing to pay a premium because you think their growth is just going to the moon.
Right. And you don't have to be a rocket scientist to note, as I will now, that every single bust has had an article like this, which is that it explains away high valuations that make no sense based upon the assumption that there's going to be some type of growth that will eventually mean that value will catch up. And it's never worked out, and it's always been a precursor to a market decline.
Interesting thing on this, though, is the end of last year, value outperformed growth. And when you look at the price-to-earnings ratios of stocks today, they're not crazy. It's not like the 2000 tech boom where they were 27 times earnings. Right now, we're at about 17.5 times earnings. Average over long periods, it's about 16. So the price to earnings ratios aren't crazy. They aren't quite euphoric yet.
Well,
which is why I think this market still has some legs. How long? Who knows?
Well, in the article, it talks about looking at latest 12-month earnings PE, and actually it's 24 times earnings for the latest 12-month PE in the Dow.
In the Dow, but when you look at the S&P 500, it's about 17.
So one thing I like to consider when I look at PE ratios is to look at the reciprocal of the PE ratio. So if you take the reciprocal, that is, you make the numerator the denominator, instead of saying something is 20 times earnings, flip it over and it's 1 over 20, which means that the implied required return for the investor is 5%. So when you have stocks selling at 50 or 100 times earnings, you're basically saying that investors are willing to accept a half or 1% return on their investment, which...
Well, investors today are because you can't get it in bonds.
Yeah.
Well, you have to take the risk of the stock dividend, which is far out surpasses the interest yield that you're going to get on the bond market.
And one of the only good things about being older is I've heard this story before.
As have I, Neil. Yeah. I've gone through many cycles now, unfortunately, but true.
That's why one of the ways to hedge against this market is to buy cases of cans of tuna fish.
Oh, my goodness. Need to go to break.
And fill up your car with gas and head north. I don't know where north is, but...
You forgot about the water and the guns.
Exactly.
Oh, my God.
Exactly. You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
Hello, I'm Kelly Marsh, the branch manager of Broadview Mortgage in Santa Barbara, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara area native who has spent the past 19 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit broadviewsb.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Broadview Mortgage can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage Lending Act, license number 813G136, NMLS number 170528, an equal housing lender.
All right. I know this isn't any fun to talk about, but we should. So, who's going to do what? Flashlights?
Nowhere to be found.
Batteries?
Dead.
Great. Emergency supply kits?
Not packed.
What about blankets?
We have an old towel.
Good enough. Cell phones?
May not work.
Emergency water?
Not a drop.
And what about food?
Nope.
Perfect. We all know where we're meeting if we're separated, yeah?
The library!
Aunt Joan's house.
The bus stop.
Great. And I'll be waiting here wondering where you all are. Sounds like we don't have a plan. Who's up for mini golf?
Winging it is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency. Who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. A public service announcement brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Cornerstone Home Lending. Since 1988, a mortgage banker and direct lender that believes in providing in-depth loan consulting to its customers in a personalized and honest manner. And we can be reached at 564-1290.
And if you'd like to go on Facebook, you could like our Facebook page at MoneyTalk1290 or shoot us an email at MoneyTalk1290@gmail.com. And we have in studio today with us, we're thrilled, have Vanessa Bechtel, who's the CEO and president of the Ventura County Community Foundation. Thanks for being here today, Vanessa.
Oh, I'm thrilled to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
And it's really great that Vanessa's able to join us because I've always had an admiration for her as she has started a financial services company and since sold it. And she also worked with Neil at the Santa Barbara City College Foundation. So it's like coming home a little bit, Vanessa.
It does feel that way. It's fabulous. Wonderful. And I will just give Neil a plug. He was a board chair when I was the executive director, and I will say was the best boss I had ever had. He was so fabulous.
Well,
look at this. All the love of Neil.
And Vanessa was the best CEO we had. And we should go hold hands. Can you move over here?
I know, I'm feeling like I'm interrupting here.
No, he's my benchmark. I always look at Neil as my benchmark in life. So
Thank you.
Oh, well, good. Good, good. So tell us a little bit about your early life, Vanessa. You were a child prodigy violinist.
No, I was lucky enough to be able to play the violin as a child. And actually, it's interesting because I was thinking about your show and thinking about, you know, money matters and impact matters, impact with your investing strategy and impact with your charitable dollars. And I think that my story with the violin is a great example of the impact someone can have on a person's life, because I was the beneficiary of a contribution. Every child in my preschool was. And at 2.5 years old, I was given a violin.
And wow, at 2.5, that's early.
It was really early. And the purpose was to try to connect the impact between math and music. And so that's a very interesting side. But for me, I love music. I love the violin. But it also was my ticket in life. I still think I have never made as much per hour as I used to make standing outside of Ghirardelli Square as a kid in San Francisco or the Irish pub playing music for people. And it taught me a lot about sales and marketing. It was also, you know, my key into college later on and scholarship funding for school. So to me, you know, being on a show about impact and really having impact with your money, that was an amazing gift that I was given as a kid. And I've never been able to say thank you. I don't know who that donor was. But for me, I'm so grateful, just so grateful.
Well, and clearly it also passed through to your professional life in that you got involved in businesses that required mathematics and understanding of numbers and balance sheets. And
yes, and music is one of those things, too, where you come to appreciate just how important everyone's role is. You know, music to me, coming in from my symphony days, you know, the orchestra is nothing with just a conductor. You really need the tuba player or the French horn player and the piccolo and percussion, and every person matters and everyone needs to come in and perform their best. And I think it was just such a great philosophy and one that I really carry with me in business.
So tell us a little bit of how you got from music. Did you get your degree in music?
No, I ended up getting my degree in law and society at UCSB. I did my master's certificate in sociology of law. And then, of course, the best opportunity I ever had was to get my MBA later. But that was much, you know, much later. I had done music so much as a child that when I got to college, I was fascinated about life and so many more areas to learn about. And so while I don't do much with law and society, it was a pretty interesting major.
So how did you make then the leap from law and society into starting a financial services firm?
You know, I was really fortunate to meet Steve Cushman at the Santa Barbara Chamber of Commerce when he was there. I was 21, 22 years old, had just graduated, wanted to figure out how to stay in Santa Barbara. And he told me, well, if you're going to stay in Santa Barbara, you need to study finance. And so that's what I did. And you know,
have you told Steve this story?
Yeah, he knows. And no, I'm so grateful for him.
When you first met Steve, what color was your hair?
It wasn't white. It
so,
wasn't
I mean,
white.
So he didn't tell you about that part of it?
No. Oh, my gosh. And, you know, I think I did about a third of these white hairs came in 2008. Yeah, I'll never forget those days. But no.
So was it tough starting a financial services business? When did you start? What year was it?
All right. So we started our firm. We launched the day Lehman Brothers collapsed.
Perfect.
Oh.
Yes. And actually, what I love, and I still have the cover of this magazine at home, is The Economist did a cover with all of these monarch butterflies. And I think the title of the article was, or the title of the cover was, "Is This the End of the World?" And so we have just launched this business. But our firm's name was Monarch Wealth Strategies. And so I always think it felt like the end of the world that day. But people were really very supportive. And we're really lucky. Santa Barbara is incredibly supportive, at least the people that I knew. And, you know, it was a huge challenge. There were so many sleepless nights that I actually moved a quarter of a block away from my office so that I could run at 1 or 2 in the morning back to the work without having to get in my car. But no, it was by far the most educational opportunity of my life. I'm so grateful for the clients who trusted us. And, you know, I wouldn't change a single day.
So in terms of what do you think you learned most from starting that? Because you've since sold your portion, though Monarch still is an advisory firm locally.
Well, you know, the catalyst for starting our firm was really to be able to guarantee our word, that our word was really our bond. And to me, the importance of one's word is something, it's the most important quality. And it's so fundamental to what we wanted to deliver. And so to me, being able to say what you mean what you say, and to back it up with action, that was what I really learned.
We had a guest on a month ago who is a successful manager of a fund of hedge funds. And he was doing it for the last 40 years. And he closed his fund 2 months ago because he said exactly what you're saying, and said for the first time in his career, he's 76 years old, he doesn't have any idea what's going on. And he said he couldn't take money from people when he didn't understand the market anymore.
You know, I wish I had known more about launching a business when we did launch. And I think we had really optimistic, rosy financial projections. And of course, we didn't anticipate during the period of time we were ramping up exactly what was going to be unfolding.
Well, how could you? That's not really fair to yourself.
But no, in all seriousness, you know, that resilience factor was also really huge. That was another incredible learning opportunity, was just how to be resilient and, you know, and feel good about yourself at the end of the day.
You're listening to Money Talk on the Santa Barbara News Press radio station, and we'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Diane Duva with an invitation for you to enjoy a great dining experience at my favorite restaurant, the world-famous Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1940. It's located on the corner of Olive and Cota Streets in downtown Santa Barbara. Arnaldi's specializes in traditional home-style Italian food prepared with the freshest produce, finest quality meats and fish, and the very best imported Italian meats, cheeses, and olive oil, along with local fish and specials from our Santa Barbara Farmers Market, and an extensive wine list served in the unique atmosphere of a candlelit dining room. Arnaldi's also caters to weddings and rehearsal dinners, receptions, graduations, birthdays, holiday parties, or any special event, with 2 large dining rooms, a huge heated patio, fire pit, 2 bocce ball courts, and a stone barbecue with red oak wood. And Arnaldi's is happy to work with you to create a custom menu and handle any special requests. Visit arnaldis.com or call 805-962-5394. It's a fact. Successful wealth management is built on strategies that focus on the big picture, take a long-term view, and establish deep and valued relationships. Hello, I'm Diane Duva, founding partner at Arlington Financial Advisors, Santa Barbara's trusted family guide, empowering you to make more informed and confident decisions. At Arlington Financial Advisors, we bring order and balance to your financial life by monitoring and managing risk so you can focus on your work, family, and enjoying the moment. We are a fully independent firm offering strategic financial planning, estate and tax planning, and private money management. Our plans and portfolios are handcrafted using a rigorous and disciplined approach, supported by a consistent yet highly personalized client experience. Our clients look to Arlington Financial Advisors as a home away from home, a comfortable place to protect what they've accomplished while they prepare for what comes next. Please visit arlingtonfinancialadvisors.com or call me, Diane Duva, at 805-699-7300.
Welcome back to Money Talk. brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And you, if you have any questions, feel free to give us a call at 564-1290, either for our guest, Vanessa Bechtel, who is the CEO and president of the Ventura County Community Foundation, or Neil or myself. So, Vanessa, what made you leave that private sector world and move into a nonprofit foundation? Because you left Monarch and went to Santa Barbara City College, and now you're down at Ventura County Community Foundation. What made you take that leap?
Well, it's a funny story, but bottom line, when I first entered into the nonprofit sphere, I was really focused on kind of helping an organization that I was deeply passionate about, helping a friend who had been recruiting for a director of finance multiple times over a pretty short period of time, and then also, having started a business and invested every single dollar that I had access to in my own personal life. It was to kind of get a little bit of financial stability. Of course, what I didn't expect and what happened was I just fell in love with what I was doing. At the Santa Barbara City College and now at the Ventura County Community Foundation, I feel like I've been able to marry my love of working with people and helping them strategize strategically about their finances with their philanthropy and wanting to have impact in the world. And so to me, it's been a huge gift to be able to connect those dots, and so unexpected. You know, I never set out to get here. But now that I look back in time, it feels like every action in my whole life, from the time when I picked up a violin and understood the power of philanthropy all the way through, you know, my financial career and now here, it just feels like everything was really connected. And yeah, it's a really beautiful thing.
Well, I really think that your skill set is such a gem to have in the nonprofit philanthropic side, because so too often you have people that start nonprofits and they're all passion driven without fully understanding the numbers. And so the fact that you have both the passion and the numbers really makes you such a gift to the Ventura County Community Foundation.
Oh, well, thank you so much. And I appreciate that. And I'm looking forward to working closely with you, by the way, on a referral for you. I'm so
well,
excited
great.
About. But anyway, I just, you know, our clients are very much like yours. They want to make sure that how they position their assets are going to have the most impact. And so what we do is we work collaboratively with financial planners to help identify what is the most strategic approach to give. Because a lot of times it's that highly appreciated stock or, a real estate property that has just been in the family for decades. We're dealing with one now, and the property has been in the family, I think, for 65 years.
Wow.
So it's a great asset to give. And we are able to take that on, then sell that and turn that into philanthropic capital. So we look for opportunities to help people maximize their assets so that they can maximize their impact.
What's interesting, and I would think that this was part of the motivation for you to get into not-for-profits. I spent a lot of time on Wall Street, and one of the characteristics of successful people on Wall Street is not compassion. And you seem to...
You being the exception, right?
I'm being the exception. Well, you know, actually, no. The reality is that coming to Santa Barbara has opened my eyes to things like giving and working for not-for-profits. When I was in New York, that was for suckers. You know, you wanted to just make as much money as you can. And, it taught me that you can learn empathy. But you would naturally have empathy and compassion. And I think that not only is your skill set appropriate, but your philosophy of life is appropriate.
Oh, well, thank you, Neil. Yeah. I appreciate that. And
let's keep complimenting
yes,
each other.
Yes, I love this. I love this. I'm like, this is where I
should
come every Monday.
Later.
You know, on that note, though, you know, one of the things that I feel that we're able to bring to the nonprofit sector is holding feet to the fire and building an accountability. One of the biggest criticisms I have for the sector is the ability to be sustainable and to really understand one's financial position, because we need to make sure we're taking informed risks and risks in the sector that are going to have impact, but that won't put us out of business. And so I really feel like we're addressing a lot of different issues. You know, so many nonprofits have run a deficit since 2008. And, you know, these are the good times now. We need to not be running a deficit in the sector.
No, at this point, this is the time where you need to be preparing for the rainy day of the next, you know, recession that the market hits and people start not being as generous with their dollars. So what type of change do you hope to accomplish in Ventura?
Well, you know, on this note, I want to help people, you know, make sure that they are contributing to organizations that understand the impact that their, you know, contribution can have and run really smart. I believe philanthropy should be innovative capital where you can help really lift an organization, but, but to also give smartly. So we screen. You know, we help our donors screen organizations to give to. And that is something that I think is really a value add in our community, because the more strategic our nonprofit group is, the more that we'll be able to address society's problems.
Now, do you also handle donors from, say, Santa Barbara County who may want to open a philanthropic account with you in Ventura, but then give to Santa Barbara organizations?
Well, you know, our donors come from all over, but we work in partnership with the Santa Barbara Foundation. They're right here local. So, you know, that is a really great gateway for local donors to work with their community foundation. But I will tell you, our donors live all around the world now, and we form lifelong bonds. So that's a really beautiful thing.
So now when you say you work with the Santa Barbara Foundation, does that mean if I had a donor that was using the Ventura County Foundation, you would have access to the research that the Santa Barbara Foundation would provide? Do you share in that regard, or is it a little bit more territorial?
You know, our goal is to understand that nonprofits and our regional's most pressing issues don't stop at boundaries.
Right.
For example, the condition of aging and senior care is something that we're impacted with in Santa Barbara and also in Ventura County. One of the biggest concerns I have is how can we maximize our money as taxpayers? How can we maximize our money with taxpayers by being smarter in how we invest in early childhood education? I mean, this is shocking to me. I didn't realize that 11,000 kids at preschool age cannot get into a preschool in Ventura County because it doesn't exist. The space for them doesn't exist. And so for me, let's fast forward. What is the impact of having kids entering kindergarten underprepared? Well, now you have to catch up. Let's say they don't get caught up appropriately. Now you're having all these extra costs. We have a recent article came out in the Ventura County Star that said that 16% of kids 18 to 24 are not working or going to school.
Wow.
So if we can fast forward, we can see this happening in life. And we know that it's a lot cheaper to pay for a kid to go to preschool than decades and decades and decades worth of lost income or revenue later down the road and all the other things that can go along with that.
And what's important, I think, for our listeners to understand is kindergarten isn't when we went to kindergarten. Kindergarten is where they're learning double-digit addition and subtraction. They're learning how to read. And if they can't read by the end of kindergarten, they're considered below grade level. And so I think our generation was learning in kindergarten was, you know, the letter people. Now they're learning uppercase, lowercase, double digit addition, subtraction, and knowing how to read.
And even before that, one of the discoveries over the last few years in neurobiology is that the most important period for people is when they're 0 to 2. That's when most of the brain development takes place and learning takes place. So we're not just talking about arithmetic. We're talking about emotional intelligence and the ability to reason. And so if there's a shortage of money to be spent on very little toddlers, it's not just keeping up with your third grade math. It's about becoming a fully evolved human being.
Well, and this is where I love what we do, because if we can fast forward throughout the trajectory of someone's life and you play that year after year after year. Basically, it's a loss. It's a loss. This year, kids aren't in preschool. Next year, kids aren't going to be in preschool. It compounds. It compounds. And so
there's this startling statistic that the jail builds of how much jail space they're going to need is based off of fourth grade literacy rates. And that's a pretty startling statistic.
So imagine, right? This is where, you know, philanthropy, the government and the private sector have to work collaboratively together to address these issues. And at a community foundation, our job is to value our current day beneficiaries and our community members and weigh that also 100 years from now, 200 years from now, because we're a timeless organization. And to really try
to do a community needs assessment
to see the community needs mm-hmm. and to really help figure out what it would take to stamp out some of these problems and to be smarter with our investment, whether they're tax dollars or our philanthropic gifts.
You're listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back.
The Foundation for Santa Barbara City College is a nonprofit organization which supports our own Santa Barbara City College. The Foundation for Santa Barbara City College, or SBCC, funds scholarships, childcare, book grants, and other programs. Without these, many students simply would not be able to attend college. There is an amazing range of academic and vocational studies offered at City College which encourage students to find their passion and their talents. As a donor to the foundation, you have the power to change lives. Please help our community college by donating to the Foundation for SBCC. Call 730-4401 or visit us at sbccfoundation.org to find out how you can help. That's 730-4401 or sbccfoundation.org.
Peek-a-boo! Peek-a-boo, smile.
Smile, buddy.
Come on, smile. Oh, honey, he's still not smiling.
Maybe he's not a smiler.
Yeah, maybe he's just not a happy baby.
Maybe he's just being a boy. You know how boys are.
Or maybe he's teething. Oh, poor baby, I think his gums hurt.
Maybe he's just tired.
Or maybe his tummy hurts. He didn't eat that much.
Maybe he's not ticklish.
You think maybe he's scared of the dog?
Maybe he'll outgrow it. Maybe it's a phase. Maybe he just doesn't like smiling.
Maybe he has autism, and we can definitely do something to help.
Maybe is all you need to find out more about autism. No big, joyful smiles by 6 months is one early sign. Learn the others at autismspeaks.org/signs or see a doctor today for an autism screening. The sooner it's diagnosed, the better. And it can make a lifetime of difference. Brought to you by Autism Speaks and the Ad Council.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1937, located on the corner of Olive and Cota Street in downtown Santa Barbara. And it is the home court of Diane's Bocce.
It is Arlington. Team. You know, I went there the other night, though, not for bocce, just for dinner with my family. And we had so much fun playing bocce on the courts. It's definitely worth checking out.
Yeah, is it extra to play bocce?
No, it's free.
It's free.
Just costs you cost of your meal, Neil.
So this is a great deal.
It is. It's you should have brought your granddaughter when she was visiting.
I know.
I told you that. It was fun. So, in case you're just joining us, we have Vanessa Bechtel in studio, who's the CEO and president of the Ventura Community Foundation, and thank you for joining us. And so, we were talking before the break kind of about the role of a community foundation and how it really is about the community needs assessment. And, you know, it reminded me that you got your MBA from USC while working full-time. So, tell us what made you do that.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I will tell you, that was definitely the biggest gift in my life, to be able to pursue my MBA, especially now. I'll tell you, there's something about going back to school after you've had life experience to see things in action. it was phenomenal. I highly recommend it. And it's the executive program. And so when you think about it, there's, you know, 70 other people in your class. Each one of them has their own career. You know, some jobs that I had never even heard of. I mean, one of the students that I met, you know, did court jury selection consulting. Another, you know, runs the supply chain for a major publicly traded company. Very interesting classmates, by far just a phenomenal opportunity. And I will tell you, there was not a lot of people. Actually, I think it was me and one other person, and we represented the whole nonprofit sector. And she runs a music program in Los Angeles. And so what was also very interesting was to see where were the similarities and where were the differences between the two, private and public sector. And that was really interesting. For example, accounting. A lot of people think that they understand accounting when they work in the private sector. But nonprofit accounting is a completely different animal. And so it was
Which sometimes gets the nonprofit sector into trouble because it's a different animal.
It does. I mean, and so there, you know, I think that there, you know, needs to be some more courses in nonprofits within an MBA program. But there's a lot of overlap.
But there's also a certain discipline that businesses have that not-for-profits don't. And one of the reasons for that probably is the nature of volunteer board members that not only are volunteers, but they kind of come and go. And so there's certain discipline that business can give to a not-for-profit. And I guess getting an MBA is helpful in that regard to sort of give some structure to managing an enterprise that typically is not run by someone that has those skill sets.
Well, and part of it is that accountability piece that you spoke about earlier. No matter if it's business or nonprofit, without an accountability partner or somebody holding you accountable, it gets easily off track.
Yeah, we should mention, by the way, that Vanessa got her MBA, which is a 2-year program, which essentially is full time, working full time, and the criteria, the one of the prerequisites for that is to be a vampire, is not to need sleep.
So for all you listening that want your MBA, just right. Remember, if you want to go back to those days on TV.
The first thing I have on my resume, no.
You don't need sleep, which is great. I mean,
oh my gosh, there really is no sleep. It took me about 4 months after graduating to realize how much I did not sleep during those 2 years, but well worth it, well worth it. And I think it just forces you, the one thing that it really did force me to do was to be able to better live in the present, because there was so much work at every single moment. I mean, the school required 20 to 30 hours of studying per week on top of working. And, you know, as a CEO of a community foundation, I'm lucky if I work 70 hours. You know, I think that's a pretty light week. And so when you add it all up, it was pretty intense. But it really causes you to be smarter with your time. And then when you're getting a 5-minute, you know, drive, you know, across town, to really treasure those moments of silence and just calm. You know, you have to really make those last.
So if there were a donor, when you speak about your donors at the foundation, what type of donors do you typically encounter? And if there are people out there listening that are thinking, what would I use a community foundation for?
You know, it's really a beautiful thing. We're working with a gentleman right now, and he's worked his whole life. And he's been a really committed citizen, very engaged civically, but hasn't really gotten involved with philanthropy. And he's approaching the end of his life, hopefully, has, some years left, but he knows he's approaching the end of his life, and he really wants an opportunity to give back. And so he's looking at, and this is really part of the philosophy that Rockefeller had, which was basically don't ruin your next generation by giving all of your wealth to them. Give back to the community and give back to the system that brought you that wealth. And at the same time, do it in a smart, intelligent, strategic way. I mean, it is really easy to spend $1 million, but you want to make sure $1 million is being spent well. You want to make sure $5,000 is being spent well. But people have two typically major gift opportunities in their life, and a major gift is anything that's significant to an individual. A community foundation is all about the democratization of philanthropy. Every dollar matters. But what we really specialize in is helping people figure out which assets to give and how to make sure that they're having impact with the money that they worked their whole life to gather, so that it's not wasted. And everybody I've ever met has wanted to make the world a better place. Of course, I'm sure there's a few people out there that maybe have a different agenda, but...
Have you followed the politics recently?
Which I'm at a philanthropy right now, Neil.
Well, as a citizen level, I just, the people I come across, they want to make the world a better place. It is really hard to have an impact. It's a really hard thing to do, and it's almost impossible as an individual to have impact. And that's also why I'm a strong proponent of community foundations, because they bring everyone together.
So let's say, for example, you and I have a client who needs a tax deduction this year, wants to do get a big tax deduction. What type of vehicles could you advise them for?
Oh, it so depends. Some people need current income. They need income for the next 20 years. Charitable remainder trust is great. Some people have a tax consequence, but they also have highly appreciated stock. So we might look at that as a transaction, create an endowment account, or create, an account that's just more like a pass-through where it's being held so that it can go out and have impact somewhere else. There are probably 30 different ways that someone could address that one challenge. And it's fascinating, maybe not as fascinating from a technical component for listeners, but it is a really complex and engaging field. And I would be delighted to help anyone that has that problem.
So what's more difficult, doing that or learning how to play the violin?
Well, the good news for me is I don't remember learning how to play the violin.
I was two and a half.
My parents, I would have to say, are probably the most patient human beings on the planet, because they had to suffer through all those years. So to me, I think this is harder. But I guess if you handed me a violin and I didn't know how to play, I would definitely think that would be harder.
So is it too late for me to pick up the violin?
Are you interested? Because I'll teach you.
Oh,
we can
wow.
do lessons at the end of your show, and we can track the progress.
I'm going to leave before the lesson starts.
So is Richard. Richard's going to leave too.
Okay. There's nothing like a new violinist.
I think it's time for a break. You've been listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be right back with our final segment.
Hi, I'm Diane Duva with an invitation for you to enjoy a great dining experience at my favorite restaurant, the world-famous Arnaldi's Cafe, one of Santa Barbara's oldest and most intimate restaurants since 1940. It's located on the corner of Olive and Coda Streets in downtown Santa Barbara. Arnaldi's specializes in traditional home-style Italian food, prepared with the freshest produce, finest quality meats and fish, and the very best imported Italian meats, cheeses, and olive oil, along with local fish and specials from our Santa Barbara Farmers Market, and an extensive wine list served in the unique atmosphere of a candlelit dining room. Arnaldi's also caters to weddings and rehearsal dinners, receptions, graduations, birthdays, holiday parties, or any special event, with two large dining rooms, a huge heated patio, fire pit, two bocce ball courts, and a stone barbecue with red oak wood. And Arnaldi's is happy to work with you to create a custom menu and handle any special requests. Visit Arnaldi's.com or call 805-962-5394.
For prospective homebuyers, one of the most important steps of the loan process is getting clear and honest information from someone who will speak plainly and truthfully about loan programs and options.
Hello, I'm Kelly Marsh, the branch manager of Broadview Mortgage in Santa Barbara, where our highly skilled and experienced team takes great pride in helping clients obtain home financing with honest, knowledgeable, fast, friendly, and efficient service. As a Santa Barbara area native who has spent the past 19 years in the mortgage industry and has closed over 4,000 loans, I'd appreciate the opportunity to earn your business and invite you to visit BroadviewSB.com or call my office at 805-563-1100 to learn more about how Broadview Mortgage can help you determine the best way to manage mortgage debt to achieve a more stable financial future.
Licensed by the Department of Business Oversight under the California Residential Mortgage
Mortgage Lending Act. License number 813G136. NMLS number 170528. An equal housing lender.
Welcome back to Money Talk, brought to you by Arlington Financial Advisors, a leading wealth management firm founded on providing thoughtful, objective, and comprehensive financial guidance for families and entities who are seeking long-term financial confidence.
And we're in studio with Vanessa Bechtel, the CEO and president of the Ventura County Community Foundation. And thank you again for being here with us.
Thank you.
So I wanted to ask you, when do you think, what criteria do you think that you will have to accomplish in order to know that you've succeeded in the Ventura County Community Foundation? Because you've done a lot in your short time there already. And
well, thank you for that question. I will tell you, when I started, my goal was to see the Community Foundation grow to become a $500 million to $1 billion community foundation that's focused on giving strategically within Ventura County. How will I know we've succeeded? I benchmark myself to that number. So I'm really committed to seeing that. But more than that, what I really would like to understand now is what are the factors that contribute to the quality of life? I mean, what are the top 10? Transportation, housing, education. And to really look at all of the dollars from a more big picture perspective, how much is going within our public system, our tax dollars, in corporations? What corporations are in Ventura County, and what do they need from our community to be successful? Is to look at the whole system as an ecosystem of with the power to have change. So I will know we're having impact when we really not only accomplish the goal from a monetary perspective, but when we understand the true cost of not taking action today, mitigation versus adapting later on. Understand what that difference is. And then I want to do some fun things. Like, I'm really interested in blockchain and the power blockchain has for delivering social services. And, you know, we all know blockchain from the platform that Bitcoin runs on. But blockchain has the capacity of being this transparent delivery system of support. And someday we can talk about it more. But I just really feel like there are some really key innovation that we can do that will change life, cut down costs, and really be more impactful. You know, I'm tired of seeing all of this money go into philanthropy, not having the change that it deserves. And there are really good things happening, but a lot of our society's issues are still there or worse. And I think we need to really take more focused action to address that. And I think that that's how we're going to know if we have impact, is when that's happening. And we have a really good roadmap to get there.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today. And, you know, I'm going to end the show with my same comment that I do think Ventura County is very lucky to have you. And I'm excited and really excited to watch you transform the Ventura County Foundation.
Well, I'm going to tap into your brain power. So so thank you for all your future brain power and past, and Neil, too, for having me on the show today. The two of you, thank you very much.
And because you were on today, Richard has sent the signal all the way to Camarillo.
Oh, my gosh, that's fabulous.
So so all your friends and buddies down there will hear your eloquent description of what you're doing for Ventura.
Well, since I listened to your show from my office in Camarillo, I will tell you, it already goes down there. But Richard, thank you very much for thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Vanessa. You've been listening to Money Talk on AM 1290 KZSB, and we'll be back next week.